VentureCast.
At Baker's, no matter where you order free pickup, you get the same great deals as you'd get in-store. So you can save when you order during band practice or at the dog park or wherever. Start your cart with the Baker's app and save from wherever today. Baker's, fresh for everyone. $35 order minimum. Restrictions may apply. Subject to availability.
Get more ways to save at the buy five or more, save $1 each sale. Just buy five or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
Hello, and welcome to the Social Psychic Radio Show, featuring Jason Zook. In uncertain times, we must change our focus and priorities. This show will highlight social justice issues with the goal of expanding minds and increasing unity, love, and mutual respect for ourselves and our planet. We support the Black Lives Matter movement. Our show aspires to promote social spirituality, which simply means that by coming together, we can solve any of our problems, including the goal of bringing an end to all forms of hate, discrimination, bias, or oppression. We must protect our environment, reform our criminal justice system, and protect every citizen from police brutality. When we come together, it becomes possible to bridge the gaps that plague our society and divide us from within. We the people means everyone.
Hello and welcome to the Social Psychic Radio Show. This is Jason Zook. It's a great pleasure. I have the opportunity of presenting special guests, Svetislav Fersen and Yerieva Areva, to the show today. This is a very interesting couple from our vantage point. They are in the Ukraine right now. They are fighting the aggressive and illegal actions of Putin's Russia. And from our vantage point, it's such a privilege to have you both on the show today to share your experiences. I was deeply touched when I was watching coverage of your personal story. And I know that what you're doing right now, our hearts go out to you guys. And from my vantage point, sitting here in the United States, I can't wait to see you win. It's like we're all watching you courageously be freedom fighters for us against the tyranny of Russia and Putin. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't wish death on anyone. My mom always said, don't ever wish death on anyone. But when someone's evil and vile as Putin, if you hear about it, you're going to go celebrate. And I feel very strongly about that. This guy looks ill. He looks sick in the head, sick in the mind. And I just feel very strongly that he's going to be out of power soon. I don't think the Russian people are going to tolerate such a tyrant and such an idiot. He miscalculated severely on the courage and the resolve of individual, each of you. How are you both doing today? How is everything going for you both? Because I know we see coverage from the media, but how are you both holding up?
Well, I think we are totally fine right now because we... the baddest part of this war for us is the end. Because on the beginning of this war, we were hard working. I was on the combat missions, just fighting for my country, and. My wife was working in the Territorial Defense Forces base. Yes, she was working with on kitchen, working with some documents, giving an interview, asking the world journalists for help to Ukraine, to help protect our people and our nation from this Russian insane invasion. And now I think we mostly fine. We have some time, a little time to rest. It's really privilege to have this time right now. But we just sick of tired we can't do any work anymore before that, and I think now we working just with fresh I can fresh, but we back to this work. We back to volunteers work to collecting donations for warrior brothers from all Ukraine. And just right now, many people from other battalions just asking me for help for bulletproof vests. They don't even have the bulletproof vests on the front line. It's really insane situation. But I'm trying to do my best in this case.
Really, talking about the situation in Kyiv. It is much better than it was like 2-3 weeks ago. So some shops are opened. Also, we have seen even cafes, cafeterias, and even one restaurant which is opened, and it is much better right now. Still, on some district on the borderline of the city, you can hear some explosions, like Ukrainian grads are working, and also sometimes some rockets from Russians get to those houses like on the borderlines of the city, and it's really sad, but still mostly close to the borderline of the city, but still we are doing our best. And right now, like, the city really has changed. We have been on the base for 1 month and mostly half, and we didn't see the city, but right now, seeing all the black posts and those things like made from iron, which can stop a tank. In Ukraine, they are called eagles. And then some blocks of this made of stone, just which can be which can close the road if it is needed. And when you drive a car, like I have to pass one block post for a kilometer or even less. But still, it makes me feel more safe. Still, telling about the territorial defense, yes, we have joined the territorial defense on the first days of the war. It was like the second day of the war when we have signed for it. But right now, even though that we have a really huge problem with the military vests, with the helmets, and with kind of ammunition, like
medicals, with some medicals, yes, with some specific ammunitions for rifles and like that.
So even though we have such kind of problems with the supplies and ammunition, the situation with the territorial defense is absolutely wonderful, because there is a long queue of those who want to join and volunteer for territorial defense, like 3 people for 1 place of the territorial defense. And then those men who have military experience, who have even warrior experience, like during the war in Ukraine, in the east of Ukraine, from 2014 till now, they maybe took their families away and then came back, or they have to do some other kinds of job. But right now there is a long queue of those who have real military experience. So those who don't have it were asked to leave, and we will join only if we are needed to protect the city if the situation becomes worse. So that is why we had an ability to start working with volunteer job. And also my husband worked more with things for his warrior brothers, and also for warriors from other battalion territorial defense. And I am a deputy of the Kyiv City Council, elected on the Oboloni district of the city. So right now I'm trying to get some humanitarian help for the citizens of Kyiv, like some vegetables, some food for those who don't have an ability to buy it, because there is a lot of people who have really problems with it, even in Kyiv, even though that the front line moved away from the city like 30-35 kilometers. And yesterday we have seen the news that Irpin city, the city near Kyiv, like maybe 10 kilometers from the city, is free and it is under Ukrainian control. And it's a really big pleasure and happiness for us, because my husband lived in Irpin city before the war and before our marriage. So he was really worried about his house, if it is safe, if it is. But
yes, many people was starving there and sitting in the basement
for weeks.
Yes, just didn't have any water, any food. Don't know if they if they have it at all. It was really insane there.
Yes, it was really hard, and still knowing that the city is free is a great pleasure to us. But still, the Russians living in the city set up a lot of mines all around. Even they have mined the bodies of Ukrainians who are dead. Just people somewhere just are laying around the bodies of them. And they are mined also. So there is a lot of work for Ukrainian armed forces just to make the territory safe. So only after that we could get to my husband's home and get some things for him. Because when he came to our house and when we got married, he just got a little of clothes. So he doesn't even have what to wear. Nice. And that's kind of hard, and still we believe that in some days or weeks we could go back there and just to solve the situation and just see the city.
Have you been back to Irpin yet? Or I saw some coverage of it. The only footage they show us is like the bridge is blown up and all these civilians are crossing across, and there's different footage, but they show, I mean, a lot of the footage we see is just one lens. I know you guys are on the actual there in reality. And have you had a chance to talk to anyone who lives in Irpin to find out how they are now, or have most people?
Yes, my mother was in Irpin. She was working as
like 3 weeks ago.
Ago, yes, she was 3 weeks ago in Irpin. She was supplying. She have supplied some volunteers, medic equipment, some foods, water for they just. It was really insane about it because she actually
almost could die.
She almost could die. She had some problem with local invasion forces. They have tried to kill her. She was on the machine actually, and she just it was really lucky that she was flee out of the out of them and just already get this food and water and medication to people who need it.
When you guys wake up in the morning right now, how surreal does everything seem? Do you feel like you're just kind of working hard, accomplishing all this heroism that you're both doing? I mean, I admire you guys tremendously just hearing your story and seeing what you're doing. I mean, you're 24 and 21, is that right? I mean, you guys are very young, yet to assume such a mantle of leadership, global leadership and courage, it motivates me tremendously. That's why I wanted to reach out to you, because I want to share your story with my audience, and I want other platforms to pick you up too, because I think what you're doing is you're helping so many people. You're standing up for yourselves and you're showing us how it should be done. You're showing the rest of the world how we should conduct ourselves. And I don't know if you get enough of that in your daily life. I will pray for you every day until this war is over. And I feel very strongly, like before the war, I know you were in the deputy city council. What were your roles like? What was your life like before this whole chaos from Putin started?
It was like the one moment, I think, in my life when everything was absolutely calm before the war. I knew I have been elected and I didn't expect it to be elected, because my place in the list of candidates, it was the fifth place on the district, and I had a very little chance to win. But still, 2,790 people have voted for me. And then I moved from fifth place to the third, and I had an ability to pass as a deputy of the Kyiv City Council. It was a great, great thing. I was doing my job. I was helping people with what I can. I knew what am I doing, and I felt like being good enough with my job. And also, like, the only thing I worried about if I would go to the second term or not, and what to do, what to wear to our wedding day. We have planned to marry on the 6th of May, and how to do a beautiful ceremony and how to make a beautiful celebration after that in a restaurant, and also some worries about the renovation in our our flat. And just the moment when the war started, it was like an absolute shock, because you have your normal life, when you know what to do, when you know when you have plans for 2-3 weeks. And right now, it was just one moment when my husband called me at 6 a.m. and he just told the war started. And I was like, what I'm going to do? I have plans. I just have plans for my flat. I have plans for my work. And that all just disappeared at 1 minute. And it was like a half a day that I was in an absolute shock, not knowing what to do, just checking the news in Telegram and not just having an idea what can I help and what to expect. Because on the first day of the war, everyone was expecting Russian army to be much stronger than it was in real life. And if it wasn't stolen by Russian politics and ministers. But there was a moment like, if we could stand, if Ukraine could stand, what will happen if Ukraine will fall? Because we were activists before the war, very patriotic, and we understood that if Russians will try to destroy those who are really like active for Ukraine, then we will be in those lists, and we can expect to just to die if that will happen. So the moment like the decision to go to the territorial defense and to help with everything we can, it was just like a natural thing, I think, for all of the Ukrainians who started volunteering, who started like doing this masking nets or getting some food or just taking donations and buying some protection for the warriors or other kind of volunteer job, or just signing up for army or a territorial defense. That was just a natural decision. Because we understand if Russia will come, it will bring Russian world to our land. Russian world is only death, fear, tears, and destroy of everything. Just look at the Russian cities. Just look at the Russian those towns, which look like they people don't live in there for years. I haven't been to Russia, but I have seen those like photos in Google Maps, and it's enough just to check in there, like picking a random city, not Moscow, not St. Petersburg, but some random small town, and watching how the houses, how the roads are looking. And that's just a terrific thing. They can't feed their people. They can't do some normal job with their cities, and they can't do some things for their cities. I mean, paint houses, paint some fences or something like this. But still, they are trying to take Georgia. They are trying to take Ukraine. They are trying to take Syria and that kind of things.
Oh, yeah.
And that is really awful. And me being as a deputy Kyiv City Council, working with them, some kind of work to make the city better, to make the city work in a good way. I understand that they do really nothing with their towns and cities, and I don't want to be like this kind of world in Ukraine. Just the destroyment, the fear, and the control. Yes, we don't want to be the part of Russian world, because the Russian world is really the worst thing that could happen to any country.
You know, I can understand that. I grew up during the Cold War as a child, and I remember Russia was the boogeyman for us. Like, we were the Soviet Union. You guys were part of that, unfortunately. Ukraine was. Thank God you have your independence, and you're not going back to Russia. I can guarantee that to you. I can guarantee to you, you're not going back. You're going to have your own country. You're going to grow your family there. You're going to have a lot of positive things coming out of this. And it's a nightmare that what we've been through already, but I feel like we're coming out of that tunnel. And I think, and I pray that you have the opportunity to really leave a positive impact among Ukrainian citizens in Kyiv, and hopefully, you know, Russia can learn from you. Its citizens can learn from you. They can topple Putin and get rid of his I guess megalomaniac. You know, we had Trump for a while. We had a megalomaniac in our country, and thank God we got Biden in there and got rid of Trump. But you know what? You know, U.S. democracy, I feel like, is under threat still. We still have our own problems that we struggle with. We're all in this together. We have to be. You showed us that. You showed us, instead of fleeing the city or running from Ukraine and going somewhere else, you guys put yourselves in the thick of it and said, you know what? You might be a tank. Those footage of people standing up the tanks, which is people, it baffles me in such a good way. And it makes me realize you can have machines and rockets and missiles, but when it comes down to it, you can't kill the people's resolve. You can't kill the solidarity. You can't kill love. You can't kill the desire for peace and for betterment. And I think that's what Putin's learning right now. He could try to fire anything at you, but the reality is he's destroying himself from the inside. And I think that that's something that I feel very strongly about. Have you ever considered yourselves to be freedom fighters?
We're just fighting for our land and maybe for the whole, we understand right now that our fight in Ukraine, the war in Ukraine, is the fight not only for our land, but still for the whole civilized world. Because Russia, after taking Ukraine, wouldn't stop. But telling about Russians, if they will be okay with Putin or stop being okay anymore, I really don't believe in them. Like, we have a great mentality difference between Ukrainians and Russians, and that really hearted, I think, every Ukrainian who came abroad. And some years before this, maybe 10 years before this, when you say that you're from Ukraine, and some people just say back that, oh, it is somewhere near Russia, or it is Russia, or something like this, and you're, no, it's Ukraine, it's absolutely other country, and absolutely other people. Because Ukrainian people, they are kind of archaic, and they think of family, they think of nation also. They feel the pain for the child killed in Mariupol as for the child of their blood brother or sister. And it's like being very, on those hard times, this mental thing is really, really helps us to connect, to unite and to fight our enemy. And Russians, they are like one for one. They are alone in their fight, and they try to save their own life, not the life of their brother or sister, just their own. And that's the, I think, the main difference of the mentality of two our nations. And really, I don't believe after seeing about the sanctions, after seeing all the things that, which they have got, that they will try to change something. We just have to, we have to try to make them to do this. And maybe this will work. Maybe sometimes there are some revolutions in Russia, but they are very bloody. They are very awful. Not that kind which were in Ukraine or in the all around the world, when people weren't okay with their governments, with their like with the main politicians in their country. The Russians will just do it in a very cruel way if they will do it. But still, we believe and we hope they will someday understand that Putin isn't the best thing for Russia. He is the worst enemy of their country, because the only thing he cares about is his imperial ambitions, and that is the thing they should understand, and I hope they will someday understand this.
I think Putin has Stalin syndrome. He thinks he's back in the Soviet Union with all these countries under his control, and he isn't. He's a much weaker autocrat than he'd like to see himself as, and in reality, you're showing him firsthand how he can't assert himself beyond his borders. And I pray that what you're doing right now in Ukraine to stop him will help set him out of power. And then there has to be changes done. And I mean, the world should come together to help Ukraine build, in my opinion, rebuild your cities, rebuild your towns, help your kindergartens. And you can't replace lost life, but we got to put things in place to protect you guys, security guarantees, whatever is necessary to make sure you're part of the international community as an equal citizen. Just because you're next door to Russia doesn't mean they can bully you and prevent you from belonging to Europe or belonging to NATO or being a part of the free world. There's no, and when I say free world, I mean free is a sense that you're fighting hard for your freedoms and you don't want an autocrat to rule over you. And I 100% agree with you. No one should have to be forced to go through that. And we're in a time and a place where this should not even be occurring, but unfortunately it is. So now history is repeating itself, but we know the outcomes so we can prevent those outcomes. And that's what you're doing right now. You're a bulwark against Putin and his forces, and you've made them retreat. I mean, that brings a smile to my face when I hear that you guys are able to beat these mechanized columns. And I want to ask you, have you encountered Russian captured soldiers at all? Have you guys seen anyone like that to see what they're like firsthand? Have you had a chance to come across anyone in Ukraine that's not pushing? the Russian point of view, the Russian perspective, even though they're from Russia, like they're working with Ukraine itself. Have you guys had experiences like that? Or is it mostly just the stuff that we see, the bombs going off, innocent people getting killed?
Well, first of all, I can say something like I have not the best experience. My wife, later time ago, I was living in Crimea. I was there when the Russian Federation was take this place to here. Just made the fake elections. I saw that elections. Nobody came for that. The election boxes was empty when it was the end of the elections day. But in any case, Russia said that everyone wants to see them there and just take the Crimea to their country.
Take it over. Yeah, they just came in and took it over. Like, oh, it's ours. We'll take this now. Like, yes, no, yes, it's yes. not yours. You can't just take yes, things yes. over. This isn't
yes, your... But my- But for just, but unfortunately, my country had some really problem on that time. It was Maidan time. It was when again my nation want to prove whole world and Russian Federation that we are not want to be with them, and that we had Yanukovych, president. Of Ukraine there, and he wants to work with Russians. He wants to attach our country to the Russia Federation's but our people, democracy really in the blood of our people. We don't want to see any non-elections democracy like in Russia. It's like formal democracy. We don't want to see formal democracy in our country. We want to be free. We want to rule our lives. Everybody in Ukraine want to rule their lives on their own, not like in the Soviet Union when it was the government owed your lives life and you can't do anything with that. And when I was in Crimea, I was see on my eyes what the Russian world is. It was really insane because we have really nice qualified products, some like foods. We have really really nice qualified foods, but in Russian it was really I don't know how to say about it. The Russian foods really. Really awful.
Is it really bad food?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know what Russians do with their food, but it's really awful. It's like it's really cost much more than in Ukraine, but its quality is really awful. And wow. It's the first thing I could see of the Russian world. But next one, it was a really high price. In Crimea, it was really the oil price in Crimea was in one moment after Russian Federations was take the Crimea, the oil prices on that district was in one moment high up and after that it was beginning of a really poor of every man who lived there. And after that I had a chance to watch a Russian propaganda channel. It was really some kind some very very insane kind of shit. I don't know how to talk about that because from 2 weeks of watching Russian propaganda news, just for curious, I really began to think something like, oh my God, is it all real? Is it my country real that bad as they said? Is my people really fake? It's just eat your brain. Absolutely, oh, yeah. Eat your brain.
It's toxic.
Yes, it's really toxic.
Independent thinking.
Yeah, that kind of, you know, I have been, my diploma, bachelor's diploma, I have been making about the influence of the Russian propaganda at the Ukrainian society. So I had to do such an unpleasant thing as also to watch Russia One channel. And yeah. Excuse me, but if you watch it for some days, you just can get the brain cancer. Really, I had such a great pains, headaches. I haven't got... during all my life, I don't know what technologies do they use, but still, that really just gets to your brain and it makes something with it. And
propaganda.
Propaganda.
That's all it is.
Yes, but the only thing I think Russia is really great with is their propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is an absolute lie, an absolute fake, and it looks like an absolute, I don't know... excuse me, bullshit, but still, they make it look real, and that is really weird. Also, talking about Russian, I haven't been to Russia, as I have told, and I haven't been to Crimea also after the Russian invasion of the
peninsula. And I think you're really lucky about that. I don't want you to see this shit.
But it's I'll really... see Ukrainian Crimea soon, and you'll show me.
Yes.
But still, my great-grandfather and great-grandmother, and also my ancestors before, have suffered because of the Soviet governments, because of Soviet Union. Like, it was a story. My great-grandfather, he was in the Red Army fighting on the World War II. After he got wounded and he got back home, there was a movement on the Western Ukraine called Banderovci. That was those Banderovci, which Russian propaganda is talking right now. They even talk that Stepan Bandera, the leader of this movement, is alive right now, and he is somewhere in Ukraine. So they are so afraid of him that they have, they are telling Russians that he is alive. He is somewhere in Ukraine killing Russians, even though he is in grave for more than 50 years, and he's buried somewhere in Europe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. He was killed in Europe, actually.
Yes, after like the World War II, maybe in 50s years. But still, his movement, Banderovci, it was actual till maybe 60s years of the last century. And one day, those guys from Ukrainian Riot Army, Banderovci, they came to my great-grandfather, and people in the Western Ukraine, they have helped those like Ukrainian riots, but they have made it to in a really secret way, because if Soviets would know that you just communicate with them, they will send you to the prison, to some to the prison. Okay. And there was a story when a group of Ukrainian riots got a fight with Russians, and most of them were just rounded, and they have killed themselves not to be in their hands, in the hands of Russians.
Absolutely.
And when they have searched the bodies of them, they have found a photo of those group of people made near the house of my great-grandfather.
Wow.
So he wasn't on this photo. It was just his house on the back line of the photo. And still, even though he is, he's got some medals of Russian Red Army, Medal of Honor. And even though he got wounded, he was fighting for Soviet Union, like in Red Army, they have sent him for 5 or 7 years to Vorkuta, to a prison with a very strict regime. Yeah, and it was like they have ruined the life of my the sister of my grandmother. Her older sister, they have ruined the health of my great-grandmother. She's still alive, but she has really huge problems with her nerves. And they have ruined the health of my great-grandfather. And that's not only the one story. There is a lot of stories. And that is why I always knew that Russians are our enemies. A lot of people in Ukraine, they have thought before the 2014, even before this like war, full war, which started on the 24th of February, that Russians are brother nations with Ukraine and something like this. But my parents have raised me with this understanding that they are enemies. They are orcs. They are just the worst thing which could happen in the world. They are oncology on the world's map. And that is why we are fighting with them, because we know what to expect.
You know what's, and you know what, based on your history, and that's a good point, that's not covered as much. I know, just you're bringing up your roots and your family members, who your loved ones who, you know, maybe here, maybe gone, but how they suffered themselves, you know, and that shows that that's intrinsic in your upbringing, in your memory. And that, I think, can help fuel the resistance that you're creating. And to create a better future for your children and for yourselves. I mean, that doesn't, you know, you're not asking for anything extraordinary. You're asking for the basic appreciation of living a life undeterred, no despotism, autocracy, no controlling and destroying and killing. And I think that that's a noble thing, and it's not anything that any of us would want for ourselves. And so right now we're seeing the recent episode of your courageousness and your strength and your ability to pull together. But you're giving me insight to think that, yeah, this has been multi-generational, Jason. This just hasn't been right now, the last 4 or 5 weeks. This has existed for over who knows how many generations. I mean, 100 years back is when the Soviet Union was created, 1921. So
I think it was the war between Ukraine and Russia isn't for 100 years or 8 years, like from 2014, or 4 or 5 weeks, like the full war right now. It may be started 350 years ago when Katerina II has ruined the Zaporizhzhia Siege. Yes. Or maybe it has started in 1187, if I'm not mistaken, when Dolgoruki has destroyed and ruined the Kiev city. He was ruler of Chernihiv Sever country when the Kiev Rus has split away, and he just tried to take the Kiev, and he just ruined it absolutely. And then he started to do his own state. And maybe this war lasts for almost 1,000 years, for about like time, these 4 or 5 weeks. I believe it's the end of Russia, like Ukraine. As Yuri Lutsenko, one of our politicians, has told in 2 or 3 days before the war began, like this war began, Ukraine has Christed Russia. Ukraine will sing it out when it will be dead. And I believe that's true. We are the end of this state of evil, lie, and we are fighting to clear the world from this...
cancer?
From this evil state, yes.
I was going to say cancer, you mentioned oncology earlier, so.
I understand that sounds kind of chauvinistic, but, you know, when they were killing and torturing and sending to prisons our ancestors and people right now, we can't be kind or okay with them anymore. Like, I think most of every Ukrainian right now hates them with all of their hearts.
Yeah. We know what it will be if the Russian invasions will win this war. We just don't want it. We just don't want to see that shit here.
Well, God willing, hopefully we'll have security guarantees in the future. We'll be able to get out of this current situation. I pray every day that Putin leaves power. And even after he leaves, Russia is going to still be an issue until they get their stuff in order. And I want to ask you this, how can our audience support you guys? What can we do personally as our audience, our listeners? I saw your PayPal and I will promote that for as long as you know I can. What else can we do? What else can our audience do to support you guys directly? Because I have so much respect and admiration for what you're doing right now on an individual basis. And just as a country, I think you guys are really holding up your end of this world right now and keeping things where they need to be going. So what can we do?
Thank you very much. Still, I know only one thing. People should go still going on the streets and tell their governments that they need to do everything to help Ukraine and to stop Russia to impose more and more sanctions. Because only this way, only if the all civilized world connects and unites against their enemy, we will all win. And right now, as we have told, Ukrainians are fighting for Ukraine, but still for the whole civilized world. And we need this help of the whole civilized world. For that reason, if Russians wouldn't come to their houses and wouldn't kill their people. So that is the most needed thing right now, just to go on strikes. If they have ability to send donations to Ukrainian funds or to their funds, which send some supplies and things for Ukrainians, because the war isn't here in Ukraine, but really the whole world is taken to this war and they have to decide if they are on the side of the good ones or the evil ones. And we really need the help of the whole world, and only together we will win and we will make this world better with not being feared to the Russian monkey or Russian crazy man just to push the red button and to send the rockets to every country in the world. We really don't want it. And we really want the peace in the whole world. It sounds kind of
futuristic.
It sounds kind of, I don't know, the kind of thing which could never happen, but still I believe it will. And I believe it will if Russia will disappear from world's map. Because if there is no Russia, there will be no Syria, there will be no Chechnya, there will be no Pridnestrovye, Abkhazia, Ossetia, Karabakh, and Ukraine. Like those wars, all those deaths and tears and all those terrific things which have happened during only 20 years, like 30 years, okay, are made by Russians. So we need them to stop. We need this evil state to stop and to disappear from world's map. And only in this way, we will have peaceful and happy world. I believe in this.
You mentioned the interesting point about Russian propaganda and how it could poison your brain. And one of the things I want to ask you is, like, I think if you could remove that from the Russian media, if you could give independent journalism a chance to actually alert the Russian people that, yes, this is a war. This isn't a controlled military exercise in Ukraine. This is a bloodbath. This is people killing innocent, slaughtering innocent Ukrainians. I think that, God willing, if we could remove that from their messaging, that perhaps the masses in Russia would rise up and go against Putin more strongly than even has been with his control and his iron fist over the media. And I feel very strong. Like, if you look at the way Putin was at one of his recent rallies, he had this $14,000 plus jacket on and looked like an idiot, right? I thought he looked so ridiculous. And then you have Zelensky looking so awesome, just like speaking to the world one at a time, right? I could just imagine how jealous Putin must be of Zelensky right now, or how much you guys are like you're the cool crowd compared to him being an idiot. That's how I look at it in my mind. I water it down. And I feel like Putin's got to realize that this is all blown up on him. He's become an outcast. He's become a pariah. And so I think with your future leadership and just with you guys directly talking to you today and having this conversation, I see firsthand the future of your country and the hope and the opportunity that comes with everything you're doing right now. And it baffles me to think that we're living through this, but then also out of bad comes good. And you guys are the epitome of the good. You guys are the fighting back, the giving a chance for anyone who doubts things in life to look forward to positive things and the brightness that comes out of the tunnel of darkness. And that's what I wanted to highlight your story. I mean, you guys got married the day of the invasion. You moved your wedding date from May 6th up to February 24th. And you took these pictures that I feel like the world looks at in like awe. Like, we're looking at your photos of your wedding pictures. A lot of people have wedding photos and they're in an album here in the United States. We take our pictures and we share them with family or we'll post them on social media. You guys were like global with that. I mean, the messaging, the responsiveness from what you're going through, your lives have been put upside down, right? But you made sense of that. You married each other. You're holding a rifle as you talk to me in the left, right eye. I didn't bring it up. But I mean, come on. Like, that's amazing. Like, and your story, I think you guys are winning the messaging tremendously. And, you know, words have power, words have meaning, words change societies. And your words right now today and all the messaging that you've done in the last several weeks is changing our perception of Ukraine and how you need to be with us. You need to be part of our world, and Russia needs to stay out of you. You know, that's the point. And whatever comes out of it, I feel very strongly and I pray that a resolution occurs. And that you will get the funding, the attention, and the help you need to rebuild everything you need to make Ukraine the best it's ever been. And I can pray that your children, if they ever came on a show like this in the future, they could talk about their great, great, great parent, grandparents being plagued by Russians, but no one else. That's what I pray for you guys. I pray that you can smile in peace and have enjoyment with each other, have kids, have a family, start your own roots. I see you getting all that, by the way. I'm a psychic, so I pick up things. After this war is over, I feel very strongly you're going to lay your roots down and have a very strong, active political career for yourself. You're going to have your own business or something and own a couple of things you're going to be doing. And the two of you are going to be very strong in your community. So, and I see at least two children for you. So there's a lot coming up. If you can fight for it, I know you have already. You've proven you've gotten through the darkest period. And I really, even today, we're hearing about there's a potential for some peace talks happening in Turkey, not to date ourselves, but you know, there's a lot there that's coming out of this. And I think your strength, every single one of you have the strength that I admire. And I want the American people to tap into that for our country to improve. We really need to learn from you. That's my opinion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I am going to post everything in our show notes for this episode and share everything with our audience. I just want to ask you this. When you look back on the last 4 weeks of 5 weeks of your life, what do you think, if you were to share with our audience, what's changed in a positive way for the both of you? What would that be?
Well, what will change in a positive way? Well, I think that first positive things which came with the start of this war, it was a total consolidation of Ukrainian people. Every Ukrainian people, even that Ukrainian that want to see Russian world here, they finally saw what
and
Russia.
Understood.
They understood. They finally understood what the Russian world really is. It was they saw the destroyers. They saw the dead body of our civilians. They saw the bombing. They saw the bombing of hospitals, of schools, of kindergarten, and something, and other civilian objects. It was not a war object. It was not a military object. It was just civilians with children, with women. They finally saw what is Russian Federation really. And it was total consolidation and unification of Ukrainian nation. I happy to see that everyone in my country want to fight for their country. They don't want to surrender in this insane. They want to fight. They want to win. And they really don't care. They really don't care. They ready to die for their nation, ready to die for their freedom future. And I feel a big courage for my people, for my nation, for my country, because Really, I after 2014, after my done, I really see how people just starting to said that they are tired.
Of war,
they don't want this to end. But now,
everyone united.
Everyone understands that this war can be the end of our country, or this will be our future, our really freedom, our really democratic future.
It's the war for the independence.
Yes. I was just gonna say that.
Yes,
it's war for independence.
Right? Like your Declaration of Independence, like with our country, we had our, a Revolutionary War, and we declared our independence. But you declared it 30 years ago. This is it. No more.
But still, we have to fight for it. We had to have Maidan. We had to have the war on the East. We have to have this war right now. And, sometimes Russia looks to me as an angry ex, which can't let go his ex-girlfriend or something like this. I don't know, but it looks really this way. Like, you have broke up with him 30 years ago and still he's trying to reach you and telling you are mine. I want you to go back. You can't do your decision by your own. And that really looks like this way. And we just are fighting for our independence, for our freedom. You know, even our symbol of our country. I had a tattoo 3 years ago. I'm not sure if it is.
I love it. Yes, I see.
Yeah, thank you. And, the symbolic of this, one of the theories, because it's really old, it's like 1,000 year of the symbol, it can be shown as Volya in the Ukrainian like alphabet. And Volya means freedom. So it is even written in our state symbol. It is like this symbol lasts from Yaroslav the Wise for 1,000 years. And that is really, the freedom is really in our genes. We just can't feel and can't be not independent, not free. So we fight for it. And that's really natural and important for us.
Yes. The fact that you guys are expressing it as clear as you are, every American can identify with that analogy of wanting to have freedom and independence, every one of us. And anyone in any democracy can respect and admire what you just said. And I think it sometimes takes inner courage and strength to assert that. And you have 43 million people, I think, or 44 million people in the Ukraine before the war. The fact that you're consolidated and united together in solidarity, you're not going to break your will. You're not going to break your desire for freedom. And that's what's going to survive and outlast this war. Out of all the tragedy that's happened, the bright light that's coming through is the fact that you're going to earn that freedom and have it cemented amongst the international community to protect you guys too and work with you. You don't need our protection. You can protect yourselves. But I mean, we're going to be standing in solidarity with you. That's what I think the international community is going to do from this point on. And I pray every day that Putin leaves power. I pray that people stop killing innocent people in Ukraine. I can't wait to see the day when you two can have the future I see, the future with children, the future with a house, the future with, your repaired flat and your cat and, just the common things, that we take for granted when we're not at war, like getting up in the morning and going, sitting out in the park and going for a walk together and having your children and enjoying things. That's what I want to see in your future. I want to see you both healthy, happy, safer, and moving forward in your lives. And I pray to God that happens sooner than later. And I pray it happens immediately, actually. So I want to thank you both for coming on the show today and sharing everything with us. This is important. And I'm going to get this episode out right away because I really do think it's so important to have our audience hear you. And I'll share your PayPal information with our audience. If there's anything you guys can think of, I want to keep my platform open to you, that if there's something you want to be spread out there as a story or information, I'd love to be able to carry that. And I will leave my show on blast for you, so to speak, that if you want to come back on and share viewpoints or share new things and new developments, I'm here for you. And I would love to encourage more Americans to do the same. Anyone with a podcast that's listening to this, reach out to you guys. Your message needs to be shared. You're so inspiring to me. And I really mean that. And I appreciate that. So, and I'll put down your Instagram information as well in the show notes. Is that the best way people can follow you and get in touch with you and contribute and donate and everything else?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much. I really mean that. I just want to thank Slavisaw and Irina for coming on the show today and sharing their story. And, you know, a lot of things have changed since February 24th. As a world, we've changed. Our focus and our vision has changed. Our priorities have changed. And when it looks grim, when things look desperate, when things look dark, our story today can give you an example of light, hope, a desire for greater peace and opportunity. And I feel the courage of the Ukrainian people standing in solidarity with them. I'm so grateful to have our guests on today. Their story is about love in the time of war and beyond. They're going to fight these Russians and get them out of Ukraine and set peace and the future, not only for themselves, but for future generations and their posterity. So I'm so pleased to have them on. Please support everything we're talking about today. I'm going to have in the show notes, contribute to Slavisaw's PayPal to help his warrior brothers and give them the stuff that they need. And I will continue to share that through my social media. Thank you so much. Stay tuned, stay positive, because you're positive anything possible. Peace to Ukraine.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Social Psychic Radio Show. Don't forget to join us for another episode next time. If you enjoyed the show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review on iTunes. You can also check us out on Facebook, and don't forget to visit the Social Psychic YouTube channel. Until next time, it's a big world out there. Keep an open mind, embrace your paradigms, and know that the universe is always yours to explore.
At Baker's, no matter where you order free pickup, you get the same great deals as you'd get in store. So you can save when you order during band practice, or at the dog park, or wherever. Start your cart with the Baker's app and save from wherever today. Baker's, fresh for everyone. $35 order minimum. Restrictions may apply. Subject to availability.
Get more ways to save at the Buy 5 or More Save $1 each sale. Just buy 5 or more participating items and save $1 each with card. Baker's, fresh for everyone.
Electric acid.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonize your mind, body, and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together we explore vibrations, frequencies, and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress, and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.
Electric acid.